Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
It's 8:12. First, this is the Bridget Gaynor Show featuring me, Steve Cochran. Andy Mazur. Nice to see you, Bridget.
Good to see you, too.
Happy Lollapalooza weekend.
Oh, God. What does a mother love more than Lollapalooza?
Your kid's going.
One of my children is going. He's 17, and I've held off until now, although my 15-year-old daughter was a hell no. So.
Yes. And by the way, that was you. Hell no, you won't
that
go.
That was me. Yeah, hell no. Even though she's like, Mom, everyone's going. Everyone in my whole grade is going. I was like, listen, my only concern in this conversation is that I won't have the right words to describe to you how little I care about anything you're saying.
Everyone's going. Not everyone.
Not everyone. I'm going to guess that not everyone's going.
Well, your 17-year-old's a good kid. He'll be fine.
He's a good kid. He's going off to college next year. So at some point, you know, here we're going to be here. Obviously, he's worked all summer. He's paying for it himself.
These are not cheap tickets.
No, he's only going for 2 days. But yeah, for all day, the whole 4 days is $300 more than that.
The good news is you're here on a good day because you get to play Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. So stand by for that.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
And let's get to Dean. Is Dean still at Lollapalooza? Did you even go home?
No, I'm not at Lollapalooza, but the connection that we have is still broken.
Oh, yeah. We had a major meltdown earlier this week here at the radio station.
Yeah, so I'm back at WGN-TV, but on our exclusive Moron Hotline.
Should we upgrade from Windows 97?
I don't think so. And I'll just say to our technical people, I'm very happy with this Commodore computer that they set me up with.
So, Dean, you know Bridget.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, Bridget. By the way, one of the bands playing at Lollapalooza today is Hell No.
Perfect.
Yeah, that you talked about. Yeah.
You can tell your daughter, you can go see Hell No and then come home.
If it makes you feel any better, I did not see, I was there all day yesterday. Mm-hmm. I did not see the kind of debauchery that you normally see. I didn't see the super drunkenness that you normally see. The kids were there to have a good time, certainly, but I didn't see the usual tomfoolery, as we older people like to say, that you normally see at Lollapalooza yesterday.
Tomfoolery is playing at Lollapalooza as well.
That's
yeah,
right.
But did you see a lot of triangle bikinis, like really, really short shorts and glitter?
Well, yes, like, yeah, I did see that.
There you go.
I did see
the
I
shorts
see
where you can see the pockets underneath the short line.
Yeah.
I think they've cut it off so high that the pockets aren't even relevant. So.
Right.
I also noticed, and this is very bizarre to me, this, I don't know if it's makeup, I don't know what it is, but it's where you wipe glitter all over yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. It's you know what? Instead of wearing clothes, you're just going to put glitter on because maybe you're thinking, oh, they can't see anything there because it's glitter.
Are these scantily clad people? Or are you talking about legitimately naked people covered in glitter?
No, these are well, they're scantily clad, but they just have glitter everywhere on their skin. It's like it was some sort of cream that had glitter in it, and they wiped it all over themselves.
Seems like strip clubs are missing the mark here. Just open your doors and sell the glitter.
Well, this is the thing. It's all about everyone wants to be an individual, so they do exactly all the same thing. They're expressing
exactly
their individuality just like everybody else.
You know, I remember, Dean, when you and I had the same leisure suit in 1979. That was embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing back in the day. Same gold chains, everything. It wasn't good. But at least it's going to be another nice day. There are hydration stations everywhere, so the kids can...
Is that the stuff they buried?
Water.
The hydration stations? The stuff they buried in Grant Park?
No, this is... that's something totally different. These are actual watering holes, I guess you might say, where you go and you can fill up your water bottles and stay nice and hydrated.
Dean, how long were you there yesterday?
I was at the Lollapalooza till about until about 5 o'clock.
What time?
PM.
What time is the first time that you saw somebody, Ralph?
No, I didn't. That's what I'm saying. Normally, I do see people that are sick or being taken away by paramedics or overcome by the sun.
Did they break down into book club circles or something? It sounds far too civilized.
Well, I'm not saying that, but there just seemed to be less debauchery this year.
Now, Eric Rung was reporting that there was a lot of weed smoking going on.
Why is Eric Rung smoking weed at this thing? He should be working.
But that's what he was reporting.
Oh, I
see. It was like everywhere.
Replace the other debauchery. It's almost legal here, so I guess it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Not till January 1st.
I just saw a video of you talking to Perry Farrell. Does Steven Tyler need that outfit back by 5 or what time?
Steve, he's a rock and roll icon. He can dress any way that he wants to.
He was dressed like your stylish aunt who doesn't know she's gotten older.
A leopard miniskirt?
No, it was kind of the big, wide-brimmed hat with a flowing sort of, I don't know, was it silk with a scarf?
Yeah.
He could have been a golden girl, I swear to God.
And a very nice, he had a very nice blue suit, very tailored, cut, beautiful blue suit. I would say he was more sporting Katharine Hepburn, 1968 vintage, than Steven Tyler.
All right, when we come back, we're going to play Lollapalooza Band, or a band I was in, but let's give you a couple of shots here right out of the gate. Bridget, Wiffle Balls, is that a Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in? And it could be the Wiffle Balls, if you prefer.
I know, because I noticed Dean said the Lollapalooza. Mm-hmm. Was it like the Jewel? Like you can kind of identify where you're from based on whether you call it Jewel, Jewels, or the Jewel?
Yeah.
It is called Moron Entertainment.
Wiffle Balls. I'm going to say that's a band you were in.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
How about Larry, Daryl, and Daryl?
I'm going to say it's kind of like super ironic, so I'm going to say it's a Lollapalooza band.
Dean?
I'm going to say that was a band that you were in.
Yeah, Dean's correct.
Ah.
It's a band I was in. By the way, I was the second Daryl. So, we'll come back and play more of this. If you want to win, 312-981-7200. As I mentioned, Dean talked to Perry Farrell. We also have a clip from Janelle Monáe. I love Janelle Monáe.
I do, too.
Crazy as the day is long, but I love her.
That was the highlight of my day yesterday, talking with her.
And then a couple of movies to review. Movies, right? The Mike Wallace thing's a movie as well, right?
Yeah, it is.
A couple of movies to review as well. Coming up.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Sponsored by Ravinia. Back to Dean. By the way, Dean, I know Melissa Villaseñor has been to Channel 9 already this morning. She's now here, waiting in the PPG Paints green room. She's going to be on with us, come out up here in just a few minutes.
We love her.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. And she's going to be
very
a gigantic
funny.
Star.
Very funny impersonations, very charming person, very lovely.
She does an impersonation of me, which surprised me. That's how broad her talent is. Oh, by the way, speaking of this, Bridget Gaynor was just telling me a story off the air, which, Dean, I know you'll find amusing. A friend of yours asked if you liked me.
They're big WGN listeners, and they said, so do you like Steve Cochran? And I said, I do. I think he's a great guy. And then there was just like a long pause. But I will tell you, huge fans of Mary Vandeville. Mayor.
There you go.
Who's
fans of friends of ours. I was at a wake
that
last
aren't
night,
so fond of me.
Waiting in line at the wake and just kind of getting in conversation. And I don't
that's always a testing, right? When you go, do you like... They're waiting for you to answer it their way so they can go off. And obviously you didn't.
Obviously. And there was just a pause. But there you go.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm no bargain to live with. I live with me most of the day. All right. So what did Perry Farrell tell you?
Perry, he talked about the legacy that he's created. You know, Lollapalooza started in 1991. It's been going. It went strong. He stopped it for a little while and then brought it back. And it's been here in Chicago since 2005. It's been the permanent home. So he reflected on, you know, this one of the greatest music festivals in the world that he created. You know, as a small project several years ago. We're going to put the whole interview on the internet so people can hear it. But he talked about favorite bands that they've had there, favorite moments that he's had there. One of the things that I talked to him about was what he is most looking forward to this year.
I'm most excited to introduce Lori Lightfoot on stage, and she's going to speak to the Lollapalooza audience.
At which performance?
I am not positive yet.
Okay.
They just asked me if I would introduce her.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then, obviously, what comes next is my own performance.
Yep.
And then I also, I'm looking forward to performing over by the voter registration. But I really think this year I want to try to register as many people as I can through these 4 days. That is like priority number one with me. Then I want to visit people like Janelle Monáe. I want to meet Meek Mills. I want to meet Lil Wayne, 21 Pilots, her. That's a good list, right?
Yeah, Gambino has got to be.
Oh, Childish Gambino.
I think that's kind of cool. That he's a rock legend himself, but he's genuinely giddy about meeting some of today's biggest stars as well.
Well, and he was a rock star, but he's exponentially bigger because he's the Lollapalooza guy. And that's why Dean and I have taken a cue, and we have started two new festivals, Moronpalooza and Talkapalooza. Talkapalooza, where we'll just get a bunch of talk show people to go up on various stages and talk. And Moronpalooza, I think you can picture how that's going to go.
How are they going to keep out the crowds? How are they going to? They're going to need even better fencing than they have over at Lollapalooza.
Security, people are already burying their stashes in Grand Park getting ready for Talkapalooza.
Well, yeah, but in that case, it's Lipitor. They're burying Lipitor in Grand Park, so I can actually get in.
It's Lipitor and stuff to keep you awake so you don't fall asleep during the boring festivities that are going to be going on.
312-981-7200 if you want to play Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in. While they do that, Janelle Monáe on TV with Dean all day. You'll see that clip. But review these movies, Hobbs and Shaw.
I liked Hobbs and Shaw. Some people are trashing it. I don't know what you were expecting when you're going to see a
Shakespeare,
Dwayne the Rock Johnson movie. It's an offshoot of Fast and Furious. It's very much like that genre. It's a good guy, bad guy movie. Dwayne the Rock Johnson is teamed up with Jason Statham. They hate each other, yet they're forced to work together to bring down a force of evil that's trying to kill half the population. It's a fun summer movie.
So it's a typical.
Wait, let me say, do they end up liking each other at the end? I mean, don't wreck it for us. But do they kind of look across the car and say, you know what? Yeah, I can see.
You're not so bad.
You're not so bad.
I think that would be wrecking it if I told you if that was the case.
Maybe they fall in love. Maybe that's what this is. It's a new day.
It's a fun movie. It does not explore the great questions of philosophy in the world. It's a lot of trash talking, fun effects, fun, very, really exceptional special effects and special stunts in this. I liked it. I gave it a minus. I thought it was a good time.
And at the end of a buddy movie like that, I think the right thing to do is look at each other and punch each other in the face, really, as a sign of affection. Mike Wallace's here is the worst four words you could have heard for about 40 years in his run on 60 Minutes. Is that the basic hook for the documentary?
That's basically the hook that explains why those four words were so feared, because of his style, the way he conducted interviews, his very in-your-face style of conducting interviews. But it talks all about Mike Wallace's career leading up to 60 Minutes and during the 60 Minutes years. And what I really liked about this is that it really is sort of an exploration of journalism and how it relates to the free press today. People who are in journalism, other people who are in journalism, talking about Mike Wallace, talk about the importance of having lots of different voices and not having the press shut down and not having the press viewed as the enemy of the people, but having reporters who are in search of the truth no matter where it takes them. So it also relates very much so to the current state of how the media is viewed. I really liked it. I've always been a big fan of Mike Wallace, and I gave this one a Dean's List B+.
Probably limited, right, where you can see it?
It is. It's not in a lot of theaters, but if you're a journalism fan, if you're a fan of the news, This one is definitely worth seeking out.
And you can count on the fact that if timing had been different, Mike Wallace would have shown up at the Tribune Tower to visit Randy Michaels and Kevin Matheny. So, you know, but we didn't have that kind of timing. You know what I'm saying?
I can only imagine what it would be like if, you know, Mike Wallace were covering politics today, or, you know, like some of the really hard-nosed, no-nonsense kind of journalists, if they were covering the political situation today and how they would deal with all that we've got. Not that, you know, reporters that we have now, you know, back away from tough situations, but it would have been interesting to see these legends at work in these unprecedented times in which we live.
Mike Wallace sitting down with Trump would have been open. He would have opened with, you know, everybody knows you're a pathological liar, right? So, all right.
They show lots of clips, you know, of Wallace's famous interviews. And maybe one of the most famous is when he sat down with the Ayatollah Khomeini and how tension-filled that was.
Well, there were guys in the room that could have killed him.
That could have killed him, yes. And, you know, he's challenging him. It's the Ayatollah, and he's challenging and asking questions that he's not supposed to ask. It just reminds you of what an amazing journalist this guy was.
There's a point, Andy, Bridget, if you don't remember, where Mike Wallace turns to the Ayatollah and goes, please understand this isn't me, but the rest of the world calls you a dillweed. Is that true?
Wow. Band,
I'm not
you
saying.
Were in.
Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
That's Dean Richards.